T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The NFL Draft Special. Mike Johnson. Squidbilly Bo Morgan. Or do you prefer Bo Squidbilly Morgan?
I don't care.
Every
what you
time
call
I
me.
Say it one way, you're like, how about just saying it the other way?
I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me.
When you call me one of those two, it's probably better than what most people are calling me.
Like the time the Chick-fil-A lady had your to-go order and she said, Bayou, to-go order for Bayou.
When I was
and you looked at me and you go, surely she's not talking to me.
When, yeah, no.
So what did you want her to say, Squidbilly?
That's not at all what happened. I just stood there like, I was looking around for Bayou as well. And you go, I think that's
name,
you.
Guy name is Bayou. Who the heck named your kid Bayou?
I said, damn, my name's not Bayou. You're like, dude, that's you. I guarantee it. And I walked over there and she's like, Bayou? And I go, I looked at her dead in the face. I go, it's Bo. Thank you.
She said, why didn't you just spell it that way then? B-O. Duh.
I used to sell when I was
it's like if they called me Mikhail. Mikhail? Mikhail.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a text from somebody
an inside source.
Yeah, and they're not liking my responses, and I'm not liking theirs. So we're just going back and forth. But anyways, I got to concentrate here. I did landscaping all through college, and until my internship started with 7-9 The Zone with Steak and those guys in the mornings back then, and then I sold cell phones for AT&T, and I had this lady who bought like 3 or 4 phones for me. And I had a name tag on. And I said, and I literally would walk up, Mike, when you'd walk in the store, and it was like a restaurant, you know, where you rotate, who, you know, you seat this table, and then now it's, you know, now this time you're seating Eric's section, this time you're seating Mike's section. And that was the way we did. We rotated, it was 3 of us. And I walked up and said, hey, I'm Bo, how can I help you? You know, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh, okay. And then she buys a phone, comes back, hey, Bew. And I walked in and said, hey, I'm Bo. I remember you guys. You were like, yeah, what's going on, Bew?
Mr. Bew.
And I'm like, damn, I just said it was Bo. Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
Did I have a name tag on it? Yeah.
I mean, you know, anyway, so.
Yeah. Listen, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to get your interview that Michael Penix had yesterday with Dukes and Bell. He did the whole press row thing. He gets in front of all the Atlanta media. And so we'll hear that Dukes and Bell interview coming up in just a little bit. You also hear our morning shift interview with Kalen DeBoer talking about Michael Penix. I honestly wish we had known what was going to happen with Braylon Trice, because we could have dove even further into that with Kalen DeBoer. But, hey, listen, that's radio for you and that's sports media. Now, what did come out with Michael Penix yesterday, as he's kind of sitting at the podium or the table or in front of the microphones, whatever you want to call it, he does reveal that he got a conversation with Kirk Cousins over the phone. And he, quote, said, yes, he did reach out. We had a very good conversation. He reached out last night. I'm super excited to work with him. He said the same thing about me. And everything else I'll just kind of leave between the two of us. I think this is an important thing to talk about, because we have covered a lot, it seems like, in the last 24 hours, Kirk Cousins' agent and how he felt. The fact that Kirk Cousins felt a little bit blindsided, that he knew that there was a possibility that there might be a quarterback drafted by the Atlanta Falcons in the next couple of years. He didn't know it would be the first one that was taken at 8 while he was under contract. And so I think that's an important thing to get to. But I guess my question, Bo, is what's that conversation sound like? Because there's a lot of conversation going on around Kirk Cousins for a massive part of this offseason in Atlanta. All of a sudden, the conversation takes a hard left turn towards Michael Penix. Now,
Can we do
honestly? I think Atlanta fans view these guys very similarly, other than their age. Like, they're both good processors, good passers, both have an injury history, and they're going to be in the same quarterback room. But when Kirk Cousins calls Michael Penix, is it, hey, buddy?
Can we do it two ways? Can we do the conversation twice? Because I think it's important. I think it's important to give both ways that this could have went.
Okay.
I think we need to give it the way that I think it went, where they're both extremely respectful to each
for
other.
For sure. There's no doubt.
But I think we should also do it like the way some of us
the
think.
The Key and Peele version of it?
The way we think the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love conversation went, or the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers conversation
all right,
went.
All right. Here's where we're going to start. I'm Kirk Cousins first. Okay? I'm Kirk Cousins.
All right.
I've reached out to somebody at the Atlanta Falcons. I've gotten Michael Penix.
You called David Bassey. You got Michael Penix.
I called David Bassey. I said, hey, man, I'm going to need Michael Penix's phone number. And I'm going to give him a shout. So ring, ring, ring. Michael Penix answers the phone.
Sup?
Hey!
Young kids say sup these days.
Hey, Mike.
I don't know.
Hey, Mike. I just listened. I want to reach out. I'm Kirk. Some call me Kirk O'Chains. You can just call me Kirk. It looks like we're going to be playing a little bit together, man.
You got any Kohl's cash?
If you want me to drum some of that up, I got a whole junk drawer full of that at the new house. We just bought.
I'm going to take all your Kohl's cash, fool, because I'm coming for your job. I'm coming for your job. No, I'm just kidding. I'll play nice. Hey, Kirk, man. Wow. I can't believe I'm talking to Kirk Cousins. It's so cool to talk to you. Obviously I'm a big fan. We both wore purple and yellow the last few years.
Right.
And I can't wait to get in here and learn from you and learn how to study defenses and, learn from one of the best.
That's what I want to imagine it sounded like.
Yeah.
Because I think Kirk's response
Well, that's what I think it sounded like, because I think they're both really good dudes.
And I think Kirk's response probably was something along the lines is, I'll do anything I can to help you. This is us together. This is us making each other better. I'm going to probably – if I know what I know from Kirk Cousins and just listening to his interviews, he probably said something like that. I'm going to be able to learn some things from you along the way too. You're going to be able to teach me.
But I think I'm going to say something that is probably maybe – I don't know if everybody's going to agree with. And if you don't, just call 404-726-0929. I'd love to hash it up with you. But I think that a real alpha is going to be like, I'll teach you whatever I can.
Right.
Because I'm not worried about you.
Right. Yeah.
Because you ain't taking my job, because I'm better than, like, a true alpha. And look, we got to think about it. When you get to an NFL roster, you're either extraordinarily talented and you can just get by on talent alone, or you've got both. You've got that work ethic and that talent that has made you the top. And when you become one of the top percenters in the NFL, a Kirk Cousins, like Matt Ryan was, Julio Jones, like those guys, you don't care. Roddy White's the perfect example. Roddy White is the number one receiver on this team, and the Falcons go from like 26 or 28, 27, something like that, to 6 to get Julio Jones. And what did Roddy White do?
Welcomed
him, because he's like, you know what? You're going to create opportunities for me. Now, I know it's different when you're a quarterback to a wide receiver, because there's only one quarterback on the field most of the time. But what I'm telling you is, a true alpha is like, I'm not at all worried about you, because I'm that damn good. And I'm going to go out and do everything I can to keep my job. Also, I got $110 million guaranteed.
You're lucky. There's a lot
you're
in the
lucky.
Back pocket.
I'm making $100 million more guaranteed. Then you're going
to –
then I'm almost more than your rookie deal. Like, I'm almost making $100 million more guaranteed than you're going to get on your entire rookie contract.
Yeah, you can actually have that Kohl's cash, Mike. You can actually have that Kohl's cash. Hey, it might not be Kirk's responsibility to coach up Michael Penix, but maybe it's Michael Penix's responsibility to learn from Cousins.
It was really the young man's responsibility to learn from Kirk. You know, you're talking about a guy's had a lot of success in the National Football League, and you're talking about a young man coming into the league. He's going to be hungry. He's going to be eager to learn and just have a certain desire that it takes to sit back and learn. And, you know, I watched Kirk do it. And now it was Michael's time to do it. And it's just like, you can't put that on Kirk. Kirk's job is just to be a professional. Kirk, God will show him the way by how he goes about his daily business every single day. And Michael will get a chance to see that firsthand. And I think that's really a good thing for a young player.
I love how – and that's Raheem Morris, by the way, yesterday. That's Raheem Morris talking about the relationship between Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. I love how you put that, though, man, because that is such a – especially at the quarterback position, that is such a hot topic, it seems like, around this time in the NFL every year. right? Was it Tannehill, talking about Malik Willis a couple years ago and whether or not it was his job to try to coach him up? Here's how I feel about that. It is not Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins' job to teach Michael Penix or Malik Willis or Will Levis or whoever it may be. It's not their job to teach them how to be a pro. It's not their job to teach them how to play the game of football. It also would behoove these older guys to not be a complete a-hole when they're talking to the younger guys. And the truth lies somewhere in the middle, because you do hear stories, and I've seen it with my own eyes, younger draft picks, guys playing ahead of them, they're complete a-hole. They make it harder on the guy, like on purpose. Like, not only am I not going to help you, I'm going to make it harder on you to actually find success for the team. That's where it becomes a detriment to the team. I think on the flip side, though, if you are interactive, if you watch film together, now, I don't think it's Kirk's responsibility to go, hey, Mike, be here at 6 a.m. Be here at 6 a.m. We're cutting up film. No, that's Kirk Cousins has nothing to do with it.
Well, hold on. I think your take on this is extremely important, because you went through it. You were a draft pick that didn't walk on to the team and start day one. You had to learn. You had to all those things. I'm going to tell you multiple things, though. First off, my job is, if I'm Kirk Cousins, my job is not to teach Michael Penix how to become a pro. You know what Michael Penix's job is? Is to learn how to become a pro from Kirk Cousins. However, I do think that if you care about the team as a leader, I look over and say, hey, film study starts at 6 a.m. Monday morning after a game. Tuesday's your off day. It starts at noon. And then Wednesday through Saturday, back here at 6 a.m. for film study.
you know what's
and I don't think that's at the times. I'm just telling you.
What's going to be a more important – it might be the times. What's going to be the more important relationship is, to me, it's not between Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. As it sits right now, the most important relationship, or the more one that's fun to talk about, is the one between Taylor Heineke and Michael Penix.
That's the other problem that I think this has created for this team. And this is not about a Heineke Penix.
What's the word? Schism? A fracture?
Because, look, I got to be around Taylor Heineke some last year. Not a lot, just in post-game interviews and stuff. I think he's a good dude. I don't think Taylor Heineke's worried at all. Taylor Heineke was a guy that was going to retire. I mean, he's made some money, not a lot. He's
got some zeros.
He's made Michael Penix's rookie contract deal more, but around there at the end, all said and done, not Kirk Cousins. But the problem that this creates is you just redid Taylor Heineke. You just redid his deal. And so to help save money. So now his cap is 4.5. You know, if you cut him, you're not saving any money. You're saving $1.2 million. So you're only saving like $600,000 over having, because you got to have everybody's going to carry an emergency quarterback. But now the new rule is you can put them on the practice squad.
Right.
So do you lose $1.2 million and then still have to pay a Taylor Heineke type player for being on the practice squad? Because you sure as hell are not putting Michael Penix on the practice squad.
You can't pay him a ton of money to be on the practice squad.
That's what they make. They make $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 these years now. The money's going up.
Do they really?
The money is going up.
My gosh.
For a veteran, yeah.
Holy crap.
But much money are you really saving is my question. And the fact is did you just basically say, I don't have 48 roster spots. I only have 47 now. Because you got, and I'm not going to sit here and do the roster math that everyone wants to do come August. But you have a long snapper, a punter, and a kicker. That's three.
Yeah.
And you have two starting quarterbacks. I mean, two quarterbacks. Atlanta has two starting quarterbacks.
You don't have a starter.
But you have two quarterbacks, and now you can have a third, and it can be on the practice squad. But what are you going to do? Because you're not putting Michael Penix on the – you would have to cut him, and then someone would immediately go get him. Now you've basically lost a roster spot as well. That's the other reason why I don't have to like this, because roster spots – are important November and October when you're all banged up.
I just wish – I don't think Taylor Heineke and Michael Penix have talked, but I wonder what the text conversation was between Heineke and Kirk Cousins. I'm assuming that Heineke was like, hey, man, you talk to Penix? Kirk's like, yeah, it was real quick. It was a real quick conversation.
I think
nothing big.
I think he jumped too far ahead. I think it was at what 9:20 on Thursday night. Dude, did you know they were drafting a quarterback? And Kurt Coe goes, well, me and Julia just left Kohl's, and we got a call when they were on the clock.
We just left a great meal at Texas Roadhouse. I'll call you in 10 minutes.
You mean the cookout? That's where he likes the cookout. He's like, yeah, man, we just got the two sides.
Hey, look, we got to get a break. We're coming up on the other side. We're going to talk about the NFC South, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Bucks. What their picks have been. Which one of these teams jumps out at you of really having won the draft when it comes to this division? Who could jump ahead? That's coming up on the other side at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is 1:21. San Francisco 49ers are on the clock. It's round number four, pick number 124 coming up.
And we're 19 picks away after this one, or 18 after this one.
19 picks away from the Atlanta Falcons getting in what will be their fifth draft selection. You've got a quarterback and three defensive linemen. I will say at this point, by the way, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, the NFL Draft Special, hanging out with you for the next few hours here as we watch these picks come through. We're going to talk about the NFC South in just a second, who won, who lost, who got better and who didn't. I do think it's interesting to as we move throughout this, we'll continue to take kind of a widened outlook at the Atlanta Falcons draft. I will say this. Last year, when you took Bijan at 8, it was sexier than I thought it was going to be, right? I think everybody said edge or corner, a lot like this year, honestly. You took Bijan, and the highlights that are playing across ESPN are way sexier than you ever imagined they were going to be for a Falcons first-round pick. I feel the same way this year. Like, I did not expect – I thought you were going to see the Leatu Latu, the Dallas Turner, the edge-rushing – videos that were playing when those guys were selected. Instead, I'm seeing deep ball after seam route after go route. You know, 4,000 and 5,000 passing yards from Michael Penix that's been spread across.
You got
after that, and I don't know that it's been that sexy for the Falcons.
I see different highlights from him though when I'm watching. I've seen some of these guys show like his movement in the pocket, the way he'll move off his spot.
Like a half shuffle step to the right.
And never take his eyes off of downfield. And that's what I like about the player. That's the thing that I feel, that's what I hate about what's happened the last day, is we haven't been able to talk about the player.
So true.
We've talked about where you drafted him, why you drafted him, why you shouldn't have, why you did, what Kirk Cousins feels about it. All of these other things have came into it. But we haven't been able to talk about what he possesses as a player. And one of the things, I thought, and Arch talked to us yesterday, Dave Archer came on this yesterday on the morning shift, and he was like, Michael Penix does it at an elite level, the things that we forget about and the things that win in the NFL is time and time again those on-schedule plays, right?
Yeah.
Where pressure, slide to my left, slide to my right, and slide back. Slide up, whatever he's going to do, right? To still keep his eyes downfield, step into the football, and make an accurate, on-time play. The thing that has enamored the entire world to Caleb Williams, or what he's enamored everybody about around, is the fact that he can make those off-schedule plays. Where he's like, oh, hell's breaking loose, and I'm out. And, oh, look, I found Jordan Addison streaking across the field. And also, the one thing that no one's talked about with Caleb Williams is when he had Jordan Addison, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. When he didn't have him, he was a guy living off his Heisman Trophy.
Right. When he didn't have him, you had, I think it was Emmanuel Acho come out like week six and be like, he should just sit out the rest of the year. Just sit out. Boy, nothing lit a fire under me like hearing that. Yeah, because none of your teammates need you or anything. They haven't been working hard either. Just – would have been selfish. Shout out to him though. He absolutely did it. When did off schedule plays become such a big thing? Because I have a theory on this, and you might think differently, but off schedule plays to me, sometime around the mid-2000s, started becoming such a bigger thing. It's a bigger deal now than it's ever been, because I think you went through a period where your off schedule plays, and I think Michael Vick's an outlier. Obviously, he changed the game in a lot of different ways. He was an off schedule play. But then you had, Brett Favre, who could scramble and make some of these off-schedule plays, back-foot throws. Aaron Rodgers, elite scrambler, elite guy buying time. I think Big Ben was one of those guys, just in a different way.
I'm going to let the 6'4", 260 defensive lineman jump on my back.
Right.
I'm going to shed him like I'm a dog shaking water off my back.
Exactly.
And then I'm going to move and make a big play. I loved watching that.
I think you transitioned into a Russell Wilson in right around when it was 2012. It seemed like it just exploded. Everybody's looking for an off-schedule guy around that time. Right. And that's when you've really seen. If you're a good quarterback in the NFL, you make off-schedule plays now. It's just the bottom line. Now that Tom Brady's not there and Peyton Manning's not there and Matt Ryan's not there, now it's all about Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. It's off-schedule plays to a T. Like, it's all about that, and I think that's why Caleb Williams is so highly valued, because he's that guy.
But I think that's the thing that I heard yesterday. I heard on this station guys talking about Michael Penix and say, yeah, I mean, he's more like Kirk Cousins than he is anybody. And I go, no, he's not to me. I think he is as a pocket player, yeah. But have we forgotten that the dude is a freak athlete? Like, the dude can move. I know he's got knee injuries 5 years ago. He hasn't been hurt in 2 years. The guy is he can make plays with his legs. The brilliance of what he is. And we asked DeBoer, and you'll hear it later coming up.
Coming up next segment.
The brilliance of what he has done in his career is he's gone from a guy that ran the read options at Indiana to a guy that just developed as a pocket passer that didn't need all that. Yeah. That's the brilliance of the athlete and the player that he is. That shows you just how far he's came from his young his Indiana years and how he's progressed. He can do all those other things, too. He can move around. I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson with his legs, but he can make plays out of the pocket. I think he can make plays out of the pocket like a Caleb Williams. I just don't think he does.
I just don't think that's what – and listen, I think it's the best possible scenario that he's learning from Kirk Cousins. I've told you this story a number of times. I went in – there was some action in Vegas being put down last year, and the over-under on Kirk Cousins' rushing yards almost every week – Kirk Cousins rushing yards, overrunner's like 1.5. And I think we got to like week 6, and right before he did had the Achilles injury, and I was like, huh. I was like, this is easy. Surely he's going to, do a 2-yard scramble at some point. No, he didn't. Put the money on the over, and I lost it because I don't know how many rushing yards he ended up with, but it was next to zero on the year. So you got that. I do want to pivot to some of these NFC South picks, and real quick, we'll break into all three of these teams other than the Falcons and the NFC South and what you thought. Let's start, though, with the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers just anemic offensively last year. All right, they get into the back end of the first round. Remember, they had to ship everything they had, it felt like, to be able to get Bryce Young last year. So they get Bryce Young. They do get back into the end of the first round yesterday from the pick from Buffalo. They take Xavier Leggett, for a wide receiver from South Carolina, explosive playmaker. I don't know how much you know about him, but it seems almost too easy to have the Deebo Samuel comparisons.
Well, yeah.
But he's in that kind of frame where he's 6'2", 215, 220, explosive, high points of the ball. I want to say he's a 4-3 guy at the draft without it sitting in front of me. Explosive player. And so I think that's why you see them kind of, willing to take him when it seemed like there was a number of other wide receivers around him that were coveted. That's the guy they wanted, and it seemed like an easy situation to be able to pick him up for the Panthers.
Yeah, I thought, if you want to talk, we talk about guys being overdrafted, and we talk about, oh, man, I can't believe they overdrafted this guy, blah, blah. He's a guy that I was just – kind of shocked at where he went.
Yeah.
He is a big guy. He's an explosive guy. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's pretty good at the 50-50 balls.
Yeah, high points, yeah.
He's kind of a lot like, I don't want to say, he's really good at catching the ball and in space and taking off, like the bubble screens and stuff. Like you said, some of the things you would do with Deebo, I was just kind of shocked that he went where he went at that point. I just didn't expect him to be a first-round player, and to move up at the first round to get him was a little bit shocking. But, I understand what they're doing. They're giving a player that they basically paid dearly for in draft picks and capital and even in players with DJ Moore and Bryce Young, some weapons. But I like what they did in the second round as well, Mike, getting Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Because I don't know if you know a lot about Jonathan Brooks, but he was playing really well last year.
Well, I feel the same way about this one that I do about the Michael Penix situation over here in Atlanta. I like the player. I really like the player. I don't know that needs-wise, if that's at the top of your board, if you're, you know, when you look at what their offensive line was, when you look at the really the depth of the receiver core last year, Bryce Young needs a lot of help. Listen, you want to talk about not extending plays, he was not a guy that was going to try to extend the play last year. And I don't know if that's coaching. It looked like coaching to me. Hey, get the ball out on time, and if he's not open, throw it out of bounds. It seemed like that's what they were trying to do most of the time. Yeah, Chuba Hubbard, you know, you had a number of the other options in the backfield over in Carolina. I don't know that I would have taken a running back in round two, but nonetheless, that's where they stand. The Bucs, to me, and I'll go through all four of these before I get your comment on them, I think they did well. I think they did really well. And it's not just because we've tracked a number of these guys and are familiar with them. Round one, you go get interior offensive line help. You get Graham Barton, a center out of Duke. Now, this is a guy who started 30-plus games at left tackle, but I think as a freshman was snapping. It's the very rare you see the left tackle go to guard or vice versa, but it's very rare you see left tackle go to center in the NFL. That's what you're going to see. You also got Chris Braswell at 57 overall, the linebacker at Alabama, the guy opposite Dallas Turner. Then you got Tyke Smith in the third round, 89 overall, the safety out of Georgia, and Jalen McMillan, wide receiver out of Washington. Bo, I think they did pretty good. I think they did pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Jason Light, the GM down there.
Well, these guys won a Super Bowl, and you can say that it was a Tom Brady, but he had built a team that was a Tom Brady away. See, I'm not sure I feel the same way about us I did when they went and got Tom Brady. I thought that he was going to kill it there immediately because they already had three receivers that could play. They had a defense that was stacked. You know, Vita Vea was already there. Shaq Barrett was already there. Jason Pierre-Paul, yeah, he was already there.
JPP.
Those DBs were already there. You know, that's the difference in what when we signed Kirk Cousins is we still had some holes. We didn't have an established edge rusher.
Right.
We didn't have a Vita Vea. I mean, we got David Onyemata, who I freaking love. And we got Grady Jarrett, who I love. But, you know, we don't know who's filling some of those other voids. I mean, they had the Devin Smith and who's my guy that's played there forever?
Juan Alexander.
Levante David already there. And we got Lamon and Kay Nellis and Troy Anderson's coming back. But those guys were all pros already, right? So now all they're doing is retooling a little bit. Chris Braswell, they lost Shaq Barrett. So Braswell, what he can step in and do, I'm interested in to see what kind of player he can come. Jalen McMillan is a guy who you didn't see the plays you did from Polk and Odunze because he battled injury, but he's got it. He would have fit. We talked to Brock Heward, who everybody knows in college analyst for Fox, Washington alumni, covers a team for 710 out there in Washington as well. He was like, dude, McMillan would have fit in what Atlanta does perfectly. In fact, he was the guy of those three receivers that he thought would fit us well.
He did. He actually said that to us.
And so I like that. Tyke Smith is a smart player, an athletic player, played at Georgia, played, and I think it was that star position, I think is what they call it.
Right.
And that defense that kind of floats around. And Barton, you know, Wes and Arsh talked about him on Thursday during the first round and just, you know, raved about the intelligence that he plays with. Obviously, he's a Duke guy, so you know you're going to get a smart offensive lineman from Duke. But he's been a good player, too.
Yeah, he has. I like where they're going. I think they matched up their needs with their slots with the player about as well as you possibly could. I mean, there's probably a couple in the NFL that I like that have had better drafts so far. But, man, when you talk about what they needed help on the interior offensive line. I'm drawing a blank on the kid's name they drafted out of North Dakota State a year ago that played right guard for them most of the year last year. He was not good. It was not good.
It's Cody. What's his name? It starts with an M, I think.
Cody Mock.
Mock, yeah.
So I do want to pivot and real quick get the Saints. They had two picks in the first 2 days. They had number 14 overall, Talius Fuaga. And they also had pick number 9 in the second round, Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner out of Alabama.
Okay.
Fitz needs really well. I know that we're going to talk about whether or not they wanted to trade up in the top 10, and I know that there's whispers out there. The bottom line is they had to have an offensive tackle. They had to. Andrews Pete is not under contract. I think he's still a free agent, actually. And Ryan Ramczyk, there is questions about whether or not he will ever play football again.
Yeah, I still thought that they could have gotten one of the – they had their picks of defensive players, though, that could have haunted us for years because that's what it would have done. taking a stash and dash player. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I like him. I liked him here. I liked him coming here. I don't love the fact that now he's going to be paired on the opposite side of Marshawn Lattimore. And look, Kool-Aid's a handsy guy. That's what Lattimore
grabby.
Is. And that is what he is the perfect defensive back for Dennis Allen's system, because all they do is get right up on top of the line of scrimmage and they hold you down the field. And they never call that in New Orleans. Uh-huh. Never when you're in that Superdome. You don't ever get that call as an opposing team. So hey, our guys are going to be
out. Don't
held.
Worry about it, Kool-Aid. We got something for you. Speaking of Alabama, coming up on the other side, we're going to catch up. We're going to replay the interview we had from the morning shift yesterday. Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer came on the morning shift and talked about Michael Penix and the rest of these Washington players, which we've now added another one. You got the NFL draft special here on Sports Radio 92. The game, Mike and Squid Billy hanging out with you all day for the next few hours. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Music is fitting as we go straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer joining us here on the morning shift this morning. Good morning, Coach. It's great to have you.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Coach, we know you have spent the last few years coaching Michael Penix Jr., and that is who the Falcons selected with the 8th overall pick in the draft. Just what is Atlanta getting in a quarterback and in a person with Michael Penix?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could go on and on, but I've had a chance, 2019, got a chance with him 1 year, and then the last 2 years at Washington. And, I think his story is probably well understood, his journey and all that. And so, even from a distance, he becomes a guy that's easy to root for. But, The amazing thing is once you really get to know him, you realize what this guy's really all about. And, it's not just his desire to be the best, amazing football player, but it's about who he is as a person. And all his things that he's gone through have shaped who he is. And, he's only gotten better because of all these experiences. But, he's a guy that's going to be in the community and all the fans are going to love who he is. And, he's going to give himself not just to his teammates and everyone there at the Falcons organization, but the community as well. So he's just a super special. I can't say kid, right? I mean, he's an adult and he's a grown man, as we've seen in how he plays and just his nature of who he is as a person.
It's interesting hearing you say that, Coach, because I swear, if I just close my eyes, it almost sounds like Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and their, the context they were putting it in last night. They had a lot of the same things to say. Coach, you have more of a front row seat than almost anybody, and a lot has been made, in national circles about Michael Penix's injuries in the past, but it seems like once he got to Washington, those were all in the past. There was not an issue anymore. What transition do you think he made, or what do you think he was doing differently or that he might have learned along the way that allowed him to stay healthy and play those games and kind of set all those records for the last couple of years at Washington?
His injury in 2021 at Indiana, and that was the year before he came to us at Washington. That injury was one that didn't really bleed into the offseason. And so that 2022 offseason, he got a full year, and he might give a little different answer. But when I look back on it, have some perspective on the question that gets asked many times, like you just did, I think he had a full offseason, stacked a lot of days on top of each other. As he built up his body and, as he went through the season, did a great job, continue to stay that course. And then, doubled down with this last 2023 offseason and got 2 years of really building himself up, we talk in terms of making yourself, metal, and just, a machine that can't be broken. And that's, a lot of times physically, but we also talk mentally. And, he's got the mental game and knew what his goals were, what his dreams were. Knew he was capable from a talent standpoint, knew he had to make up mentally. Now it's just a matter of going to work, and he did that over 2 years. And I think he's been able to sustain the hits and long season that we just had together. I think that's a lot of it, you know, he did a good job, I think, learning from the situations he was maybe in and put himself in and put himself, was able to stay upright a lot and not take an unnecessary hit. So did a great job for us that way, too.
Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer joining us on the wave, joining us on Ford.com hotline here on the morning shift on Sports on Morning Shift Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, when I remember Michael Penix from Indiana, you know, the highlight against Penn State where he's scrambling down the sideline and he dives for the end zone, it felt like when he went to you guys in Washington, he kind of reinvented who he was as a player, where he became more of a pocket passer, where when he's in the pocket, he's looking to pocket, he's looking to pass, he moves to throw. How did he make that transition? How did he transition? Because I don't think when he went to Washington, someone would say, we had Brock Huard the other day, and he said he was the best pure passer in the history of the University of Washington. I don't think someone would have said that about him when he left Indiana. How did he make that transition?
You know, like I said, you know, the year at Indiana that I had, 2019 with him, I mean, you know, what I think people, I think they maybe have a little idea of the type of athlete he is, but, I mean, this guy can run. He's super athletic, as you mentioned with the play that he had in 2020 against Penn State when he was at Indiana. And we utilized, we had to utilize his game, and, we're running zone reads a lot. We're running the power read game where he's got a lot of chances to keep the football. We needed every bit of that, I think, there to help us win football games. And he showed out, and made those plays. And he always, I really feel, had that pocket passer piece to him. I mean, he just all of a sudden – change who he was. He had that ability, and I remember him standing up there and stepping into, pressure that was coming right in his face many times back in even 2019. So, I think, we probably, as much as anyone, as a staff, just really tried to understand that, man, we have a special talent here. We need to make sure we're smart about how we utilize him. And, a lot of that was more of just, the pocket, but, he throws on the run extremely well. We were able to move him around and, only utilize the running piece, the race when we really need to. I think we brought some of those things out in the Texas game back in the national semifinal this last year. And it was stuff that, he'd run back in the previous years, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, we're utilizing his running ability again. And he moved the chains with his legs multiple times in that game alone.
Coach, I actually had the pleasure of sidelining your game against Cal back in 2022, and I remember getting to talk to Roma Dunze before that game, and he told me about how Michael just prepared. And along those lines, what do you maybe think the relationship would be like with Kirk Cousins, being that Michael's a guy that has the willingness to learn and wants to absorb everything he can about the game?
Yeah, I think, okay, first of all, the Cal game, that one is kind of specific because – he threw for a lot of yards, well over 300. But,
yes, he did.
That game, I just remember him really having to stack a lot of completions on top of each other. And the explosives, because of the defensive scheme, weren't necessarily right there. And we missed a couple from, protection standpoint. And they flushed him out a couple times when a guy was coming open. But he stacked a lot of plays on top of each other and just kept completing the ball to – all the different guys. And I thought that was a great step for him on winning a football game in a different way for us. But, the relationship piece, it's who he is. It's what he does best. This guy is so likable. He's low ego. Extremely low ego. And, he's going to be a guy that's going to be there and learn every day, understand that he's got someone like Kirk Cousins there who's been in the league. He's just going to latch on to everything Kirk can share with him. I think, no matter who Michael's with, he's going to be a great teammate and going to be there to help make that person better, whether it's someone at his position or others around the football team.
Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Coach, when the Falcons got on the clock, I honestly was standing up in my living room going, Roma Dunze, Roman Dunze. Take Roma Dunze. They didn't. You had a chance to actually he goes right after that to the Bears at 9. You had a chance to coach both these guys. I just want you to talk about how special it is for you as a coach to see guys like this able to live out their dream, because these are obviously two special talents going in the top 10. You helped them a lot along the way, and I'm sure they're very thankful, but it's got to be kind of a cool feeling for you.
You know, it's like a broken record when scouts and GMs would get on the phone, and it wasn't just those two. There was others too, but, you know, it'd be like, man, this guy is just, you know, a great guy. He's, you know, a franchise, you know, type of like personality, and just, you know, who you can build around. You know, everything I just explained about Michael is what Rome is, and, you know, the smiles on their faces, and just you can see who they are, you know, very quickly, and how genuine they are, and how much they love the game. The cool thing about these guys is, you know, 2022, after that season, these guys were ready. They were ready to go into the NFL. They could have gone and got drafted, and, you know, I don't, you know, wouldn't know where exactly where that had been. It probably would have been second round, you know, for sure, third round, you know, maybe in Michael's case, because people wanted to see him stack another year, like he did the year before. But, you know, I think the cool thing is that these guys made a commitment to enjoy the moments that come along with playing the great game of football at the college level, dug in even deeper, and made their games even better. And then, you know, just continued to, you know, develop and took advantage of another year. And to see them be rewarded the way they are, and just to, you know, have this moment, it means so much. It's just, I mean, I just, you know, beam with like just happiness, you know, just seeing these guys have this limelight that they're in right now. And, you know, you're just so confident they're going to handle it with grace too when these situations and these opportunities come up.
Coach, you talked about Adunze and Michael Penix, and you obviously had other guys drafted, but two guys that are going to be probably drafted today are Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk. I'm really interested in those two guys. I was very interested in them coming here. Now that we've went offense first, I don't know where the defense goes as a Falcons guy, because that's one of our big needs. But what are those two? What will those two guys bring to an NFL offense in Polk and McMillan?
Yeah, when you take that receiving core, you're talking about a bunch of guys. I called them gym rats. You know, they love ball, and they love everything about it. They love the weight room, but, you know, they love everything, you know, with the drills on the field and the footwork. That's the way these guys are. And, you know, that the jugs machine and any variation of catching a football or catching any type of object, tennis balls, whatever it might be, that's what these guys were all about. And they put in the time, film study. You know, they were in at 5 a.m. in the morning. All three of those guys, they pushed each other to make themselves better. Jalen McMillan, you know, just high end, got dinged up a little bit this year, which I think, you know, probably dropped him a little bit, but, people know who he is and how natural of a receiver he is, and, explosive, instincts, a lot of instincts, just, you know, the complete package that way. And then Jalen Polk is just, you know, your every down, just gets it done, super competitive. He was, when I came to Washington, the glue guy. You know, that's what he was kind of known for, is the guy that kept the group together, the whole group. You know, it wasn't just about himself. He was rallying the receivers to be a complete group. You know, he brings some really good juice and energy that isn't just about him. It's about the team. So can't wait to see where these guys go as well.
Coach, going into your first full season as the head coach at Alabama, you just got done with the spring game not too long ago. How excited are you about this upcoming season?
Yeah, I really am. You know, and people ask, are you ready? You know, no, we're not ready, because we got a lot of work to do between now and that first game. But we are in a really good spot. We're on our way. The thing I always really care about the most at this time of the year, doesn't matter if you're first year or, you know, second year, 10th year, at a place, you know, it's about the mindset and, you know, just starting over from scratch, you know, and we really had to do that because a whole new staff and learning new systems, but, the guys really grasped onto and embraced everything that we threw at them, you know, all, all spring long, all winter off season, and you know, meeting with them one on one. In fact, today's my last day of just working through, you know, about 20 every day, the one on one meetings, and the excitement that they have to just get back to work, and do their thing, and the belief they have in the direction we're going. It's exciting. This summer will be. We got a lot of work in fall camp, just to clean some things up, and we'll be ready.
Well, Coach, as a Bama alum, I got to tell you, man, we're excited to have you, and we're excited to have you on the show today. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit.
You bet. Appreciate you guys. Roll Tide.
There you have it. I'm actually ashamed of myself that I didn't hit him back with a Roll Tide. I'm sure I'm on probation in somebody's realm over there in Tuscaloosa, but nonetheless, man, that's Kalen DeBoer giving you his thoughts on Michael Penix, some of the other guys that have gone off the board from the University of Washington, including our own now, Braylon Trice. So it's good to have him on the morning shift yesterday. Guys, the phone lines are wide open. 404-726-0929.
Yeah, I haven't had anybody to argue with all day.
404.
Well, not, just on Twitter.
726-0929. It's the NFL Draft Special. It's Mike Johnson, Squidbilly at Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.